Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord where we can worship and just be under his word. Mitch, those were like beautiful. Thank you so much. My name's Kevin Dill, and I'm not a regular minister up here. I'm filling in for Don Blair this morning, and forgive me, I don't memorize things that I put down and God puts in my heart. I write them down, so I might be reading a little bit of this today. Today, I want to talk to you about having a faith perspective through life. It's something that I've been learning, continue to learn. I kind of feel like I'm a high school student that keeps failing this class of life, and God keeps bringing me back and rolling me in the class and telling me to do it again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day, really a beautiful day. Thank you for giving us the breath of life that we can glorify you, we can worship you, we can praise you, we can sit under the sound of your word, and you can be present with us. We pray, Lord, that you're present with us today, right now. We also thank you so much for the blessings you give us. Certainly for the blessing of salvation, that we can live with you eternally if we believe. And we thank you for walking through the fires and walking through the floods of life with us that we'll talk about today. Lord, we do pray a special prayer for our brothers and sisters, our family, our friends that are coming home from camp. We just pray that you would provide safe travel for them. Lord, always your will be done, not ours. In your name we pray, amen. You know, for me, it's easier to have a faith perspective when life is going well in my life. When everybody in my family is healthy, they're safe, when my marriage is going well, when my investments are earning a good return, when I get the promotion at the job I've been working hard at. But we're not promised an easy and comfortable life. In fact, in John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." But he goes on to say, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying we're going to have headaches and heartaches throughout our lives. We'll experience disappointments, delays, and setbacks, things that don't work out the way we want them to work out. We get laid off from a job and we thought we'd be working for that company for a lifetime. We didn't get accepted into the university we applied to get in. We didn't get the scholarship, the small town, hometown football team isn't winning. And these are headaches in life. And then we'll experience the heartaches. We struggle in our marriage. We receive a diagnosis we didn't expect. We lose a loved one to an accident or an illness way too early. These life experiences that don't make sense and they sort of turn us upside down. But it's our perspective in these circumstances that make the difference. And God calls us to have a faith perspective. There was a businessman who woke up early one morning, a little extra early. He wanted to stop by the donut shop and pick up some donuts for his colleagues at the office. They had an early morning meeting. He wanted to just celebrate together. And so he went to the donut shop early, he went through the doors, and it smelled delicious, as you can imagine. And there was a gentleman in front of him at the counter, and he kind of sat back and started thinking about the donuts he wanted to order. And he was patient at first, but the gentleman in front of him just could not make a decision on those donuts. And time just kept slipping away, and the businessman kept looking at his clock, his watch. But the man in front of him at the counter was asking questions about the donuts. Are there sprinkles on this donut? What kind of filling is in this donut? And the businessman behind him in his head was just getting irate. And he thought, just order the donuts. Can't you just see? They're right in front of you. But the gentleman kept asking more questions. Is this one filled with raspberry filling? Does this one have a cream filling in it? And now the businessman was irate. And in his head, he silently was yelling at that gentleman at the counter. He thought, how rude are you? Just step aside. If you can't make a decision on the donuts, just step aside and let me make a decision and let me on my way. But the gentleman kept asking questions. Do you think I could taste one of these? Which one has the cinnamon and sugar on it? I like those toppings. Well, finally, the gentleman at the counter, with the help of a clerk behind the counter, filled his box with donuts, and he turned to pay. And as he turned to pay, the businessman saw that the gentleman was holding a cane. It wasn't a normal cane. It was a long white cane with a red tip. The gentleman at the counter was blind. And within an instant, the feelings of anger and bitterness and contempt that the businessman had toward the gentleman was replaced with compassion. His anger melted. His thought of how rude is this guy? Can't he just get out of the way? Was replaced with a thought of how impressive. How impressive this guy who's blind is doing this independently. So what changed? It wasn't the circumstances. The businessman was still standing in line. He still hadn't ordered his donuts. He was still going to be late to his meeting. What changed was his perspective. And God calls us to change our perspective. There's an old saying I've been trying to learn. It goes like this: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. God calls us to change our perspective as believers. In Ephesians 4:23, God writes, the Bible says, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. What's he saying? Have a new perspective. In Romans 12:2, it reads, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What's it saying? To have a new perspective, to think differently. But it goes on to say that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what about these tests in life that Romans 12:2 references? How do we keep a faith perspective during the headaches and heartaches, the troubles, as Jesus called them? Well, here's one way that I've been learning how to live with a faith perspective, and I'm learning. I'm not there yet. And one is to know that God is sovereign, that nothing that happens to you is a surprise to God. A few weeks ago, my nephew went to work like he did every day. But he had no idea that in just a few minutes after arriving at work, he'd be walked back out to his car. He lost his job. Just a few minutes after he got to work, the executives of the company held a company-wide meeting and announced a restructuring plan and layoffs. And within a few minutes of him arriving to work, he was ushered to his car. He said, Uncle Kevin, when the company recruited me to work here, they said, we have a family-like culture. We treat everyone with value and respect. He said, I sure didn't feel valuable and respected when they walked me out of the building and told me they would mail my personal items to me. I didn't even have a chance to say goodbye to my coworkers, my friends. It was humiliating. My nephew's life seemed to unravel in an instant. He didn't understand it. He was doing the right thing. He worked hard, got good performance evaluations. He got his projects completed. He was at work on time every day. He stayed late. The people that should have been treating him like a human being treated him like a human doing. It's easy to let what's unfair be an excuse to not have a faith perspective, to live bitter, to complain. But remember, God is sovereign. I told him what might seem like the worst day of your life might actually be the best day of your life. You just don't know it yet, because God's in control. it's not the end of your story. Think about it. He hung the stars in the sky. He parted the seas. He brings water from a rock. He moves mountains. He makes the deaf to hear, the blind to see. He heals the cancer. He heals the leper. He raises the dead. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows every hair on our body. He calls us his masterpiece. He's numbered our days. He directs our paths, and he orders our steps. And I told him, I said, do you think God doesn't know what's happening to you? He saw what happened. He saw what they did. He saw what you lost. He promised to pay you back double for unfair things. He said there's beauty for those ashes. Don't sit around in defeat. Don't put a question mark where God's put a period. You can't sit there. Praise him when you want to complain. Smile when you want to be depressed. Be good to someone when they're not good to you. If you don't have this perspective, you're going to be stressed out. You're going to live bitter. You're going to wonder why things didn't work out the way you thought they should. You're going to live without joy in your life because you think it's unfair. Thankfully, we're not at the mercy of luck or other people. We are God's children. The God who spoke the universe into existence has ordered our steps. In Genesis 39, Joseph's brothers threw him into a pit. They thought they were stopping his destiny, but God used them to push Joseph into his destiny. God ordained the betrayal of Joseph. It was a part of God's plan laid out for his life. Think about it. Without the betrayal, without Potiphar's wife falsely accusing Joseph, without Joseph spending time unfairly in prison, Joseph would have never fulfilled God's purpose. It wasn't random. It wasn't bad luck. It was strategic. And sometimes I wonder, am I fighting what God has ordained in my life? Frustrated, a door closed. Bitter because something didn't work out the way I thought it should. The scripture says God has ordered our steps. In Psalm 37:23, it says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The verse continues, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Proverbs 16:9 reads, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say he'll suggest them. Oh, maybe this will happen to Kevin. Maybe that'll happen to Kevin. No, our steps are ordained. They're ordered. But here's what I'm learning. When God ordered my steps, he didn't ask me. He didn't ask me my opinion. He didn't ask me for my approval. If he would, I would have said, I don't want to go through that pain. I don't want to go through the disappointments. I don't want to go through the hurts. I don't want to go through any of that. I would have told him this. I don't want to lose all my business contracts on March 11th, 2020, my birthday, because schools closed down for a pandemic. I would have told him this. I don't want to get a call at 5:30 a.m. in the morning 2 weeks later on March 30th, 2020, from my mother who said my dad just died of a heart attack. I would have said no. God didn't stop those things. And he didn't stop Joseph's brothers from throwing him into a pit. He didn't stop them from selling Joseph as a slave. God took that into account when he laid out Joseph's purpose. Remember, God is sovereign. And I'm not saying that so we can live loose, do whatever we want, and think, oh, God's in control, so I'm going to do whatever I want and live how I want because God's got me covered. No, mistakes are painful. They hurt. But even in our mistakes, God can use them for his purpose because he's sovereign. Do you remember the story, the account of Abraham and his wife Sarah, and They were told by God that they were going to have a baby in their old age, and years went by and nothing happened. So Abraham decided to help God out. He slept with Sarah's maid, Hagar. They had a son, a boy named Ishmael. They were happy. They were excited. We finally have our child. But God said, that's not the promised child. That's the arm of the flesh. That's something you made happen. In one sense, Ishmael was considered a mistake. He was the child that Abraham had out of wedlock. And you would think Abraham, who's called the father of our faith, would know better. That he would think, surely this wouldn't be in God's plan. But four generations later, when Joseph's brother threw him in a pit, they were going to leave him there to die. But they looked up and they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming. Those are the descendants of Ishmael. And they decided to sell Joseph to them as a slave. And what once was considered a mistake was actually used as part of God's plan to save Joseph's life. Only God, in his amazing wisdom and sovereignty, can take what was a mistake and turn it into a blessing. Nothing randomly happens. And one way that I've been learning to have a faith perspective is to stay in peace and know God is sovereign. But there's another way that I've been learning, and that is to invite God into my troubles. When I have difficulties, when life seems unfair, I'll ask God to get me out of this trouble. God, get me out of this health problem. Get me out of this trouble at work. Get me out of this troubled relationship. And there's nothing wrong with us asking God to get us out of the trouble, but before we can get out, we have to ask God in. Sometimes the miracle is not God getting us out, it's what's God doing with us in the circumstances. Instead of praying, God, just get me out of here, ask God to come in to the hospital room while you're taking treatment. Ask God into your marriage as you go to counseling with your spouse. Ask God to come into the trouble at your job as you struggle with your coworkers. Change your perspective. When you ask God into your trouble, he will give you grace that outlasts what should be stopping you. Strength you can't explain, a peace that passes understanding, and his favor that we don't deserve. But if we only focus on God bringing us out of the trouble, we're going to be disappointed because God doesn't do things on our timetable. Sometimes it takes longer than what we thought. But when we ask God to come into our troubles, we can live at peace and rest. We don't have to fight everything and be anxious and worried and live upset. When I ask God to come in, what I'm really asking him to do is not to change the circumstances, but to change me. Don't just help me go through this situation. Help me to grow through it, to increase my faith, to let me know him more, to feel his presence, to let my character come up higher. You know, if God delivered us out of everything instantly, we'd never reach our potential. We have a God who works in the trouble, in the uncomfortable situations. In Isaiah 43:2, God said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, they shall not burn you, and the flames shall not consume you." It's interesting, he didn't say there would be no floods or fires. There will be. Are you trying to get out of something that God's taking you through? Is it a greater testimony that God kept you out of the fire, or a greater testimony that God came with you through the fire? In the book of Daniel, in chapter 3, there's an account of three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they wouldn't bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden idol. You remember that story? And the king was furious. He threatened to have them thrown into a fiery furnace. And the teenagers made this declaration. Here's what they said. "King, we're not worried. We know that our God will deliver us." This made the king even more angry. King Nebuchadnezzar had the guards turn up the heat of the fire 7 times hotter than normal. The fact is, God could have kept them out of the fire. He parted the seas. He brought water from a rock. He made the blind to see. It would have been no problem for God to change the king's mind. But God doesn't deliver us from every fire. Sometimes he'll take us through it. He uses adversity to move us further for his purpose. We would never know his power if we were never thrown into a fire, so to speak. We wouldn't know he was a healer if we never had an illness. We'd never know he could move mountains if we never faced big obstacles. Someone once said, without great tests, you won't have a great testimony. Without big battles, we won't see big victories. These 3 Hebrew teenagers said that God would deliver them. But then they said something even more powerful. They said, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. What were they saying? God, not my will, but let your will be done. King Nebuchadnezzar had the guards tie the teenagers' hands and feet with cords and throw them into the furnace. It was so hot, the guards were instantly killed. It looked like it was the end for the teenagers, but people don't have the final say. The king doesn't have the final say. The guards don't have the final say. The illness doesn't have the final say. The accident doesn't have the final say. God does. He's sovereign. A little while later, the king came back to check on him, and he looked through the window of the furnace and was a little puzzled. He said, didn't we throw 3 men in the furnace bound? I see 4 men loosed, and 1 looks like the Son of God. God may not keep us out of every fire, but he will walk through it with us. He'll help you overcome what looks impossible, like he's doing with Maggie. 2 weeks ago, Maggie, a beautiful 20-year-old woman, woke up and started her day like she did any other day. But by that evening, she was fighting for her life. In one day, Maggie's life turned upside down. Her hopes, dreams, ambitions, goals were instantly put on the sidelines. Maggie is kind, smart, healthy, beautiful, vibrant. She's a Christian. She's living a good life, the right life, making the right decisions. She loves the Lord. She walks with the Lord. Maggie was swimming with her friends in the pool at her apartment complex she moved into just a few weeks ago. One of her friends dove into the pool, and Maggie followed her and dove in right next to her, but Maggie's head hit the bottom of the pool. She was instantly paralyzed. The next morning, my wife Jody and I received a text that Maggie had been in surgery most of the night, and she was limited to no or minimal movement through her body. She was living the right life, but for Maggie, her life instantly became hard. You know what Maggie and her family did? They invited God into their fire. Of course, they asked God for healing to get Maggie out of the fire. But if you read their Caring Bridge posts, you'll see how they ask God to come in and walk with them. They're drawing closer to God. They're experiencing his presence. They're strengthening their faith in the midst of tragedy and trauma. At one point, Maggie could only move her eyes and using a communication board and only her eyes to communicate, Maggie asked if she would ever walk again. Her father, Andy, kept asking us to pray specifically for healing at C5 on Maggie's spine. As they invited God into their trouble, they began to see the miracles. And there have been so many miracles. a testimony of God's grace and favor and love and care that doctors and nurses and therapists now call her Miracle Maggie. The first miracle was that Maggie's friends swimming with her at that day, two of them were trained lifeguards, and they knew not to move her head. The second miracle was that one of her friends from high school was just getting off her shift at the hospital as a nurse, his shift, sorry, and saw Maggie come in to the emergency room with the ambulance. He was able to stay there and able to help Andy and Marie, Maggie's parents, comprehend the tragedy and the complexity of her injuries. And yes, there were tears, and yes, they fell flat on the floor and prayed and pleaded for God's mercy and healing, but there was also peace. They felt God's presence walking with them. They invited him into their fire. Each day since the accident, Maggie has improved. Within the last week, Maggie was transferred to the Shirley Ryan Rehabilitation Center in Chicago, and as of this past week, she's walking. Dr. Jeff Kloppenstein is a neurosurgeon in the Peoria area. Some of you know him and heard of his name. He's a neurosurgeon, one of the top I've heard. He looked at Maggie's scans and said, "The only thing that's healing Maggie is God." This is truly a miracle. Without great tests, you won't hear great testimonies. Without great battles, there would be no great victories. Maggie has a great testimony to share, having God walk with her in the fire, the healing, the miracles. The circumstances between the businessman at the donut shop, my nephew who lost his job, Maggie who broke her neck, are completely different. But no matter what circumstance you find yourself in today, God wants us to have a faith perspective. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Know that God is sovereign and ask God into your trouble. He's the rock we stand on. All other things are sinking sand. Stand on his promises. May God's goodness and grace be with you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the miracles that you perform all around us every day. Thank you for the miracle of life today. You could have chosen anybody to be alive today, and you have chosen us to be alive, to be here. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your walk with us. We pray a blessing on this congregation as they leave now, Lord, that you would walk with them throughout this week, protect them, protect us, guide us, direct us, Lord, and walk with us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.